Amen. Will you bow with me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for this team of ours that went to Malaysia to serve our missionaries by caring for their children, teaching their children as they gathered together for a time of spiritual renewal. Father, we're thankful for their willingness to take time out of their busy schedules, to use vacation time to do this. We thank you for using them. We thank you for keeping them healthy as we had asked you to, and for bringing them back safely to us. Father, we're thankful for their example to the rest of us, that they are willing to go. Wherever you open the doors, they're willing to step through. And I just pray that you'd continue to help us to be a congregation that gathers together to worship and to grow, and then that we would go. We would go to our neighbors, we would go to our family members, our co-workers, and we would be willing to go to the other end of the earth in order to share the good news of Jesus with others. So thank you so much for the work that you have done through them. We continue to pray for the rest of our members of our congregation who today are spread around the world sharing the gospel. We ask that you would equip them, that you'd give them the words to speak, that you would encourage them when they become discouraged. We ask, Father, that you would use them to spread your kingdom, to build your kingdom. And Lord, as we now open your word, we ask that you would open our hearts. We ask that you would help us to hear what your Spirit is saying to the church, and that we individually and corporately would respond to you so that in our lives we worship you as well. We ask this in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory. Amen. I know there are some among you who like to run. I'm amazed when somebody tells me they can run a 5K or a half marathon. Some of you, even a marathon or an Ironman kind of thing. That blows my mind. When I was in high school, I used to run, but always the sprints. Those long distances were hard. Most of us have had the experience, though, of trying to run at some point or other in our lives. And, you know, the beginning of the race can be really exciting, really energizing. You hear the gun go off and you're excited to take off. The end of the race, when you see the final finish line, you sort of have a spurt of energy again. But the middle can be a long, tough slog, can't it? It can be tough. And it's not only that way in a race. Life can be that way. I mean, think of getting a new job. You get a new job and you go to work that first day, that first week, you're meeting new people, you're getting to know a new company, and there's excitement, there's energy, it's a learning curve, it can be exhilarating. If you stay there for a career and you reach the end, there's usually a party for you and a sense of satisfaction. Wow, I stuck it out, I did it. But that middle part, just going every day and slogging it out can be tough. That is what our spiritual walk with God can be like as well. And the Holy Spirit so wisely, because he is God, addresses the middle part of our pilgrimage in Hebrews chapter 3 this morning. Because to rest, as we're studying the biblical doctrine of rest, to rest, we need to believe, we need to trust in the middle. When we're in the middle of that pilgrimage of our way to heaven, it's not just the beginning, and it's not just the end, it's the middle that is so, so important. We need to believe God that he's going to deliver on his promises in the middle of our walk with him. Now, if you've been here with us as we've been studying Hebrews, you know that in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, we have begun a study of what real rest is. And the Holy Spirit begins by addressing failures to enter into that rest. In verses 7 down to 11, the Holy Spirit quotes Psalm 95 And he says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as they did in their day of rebellion. And he's going to say that several times because that's a core thought. Remember, Psalm 95, the first 6.5 verses talk about worship. It's a call to worship. But then the end of verse 7 down to the end is what's quoted here in Hebrews 3 about wandering. Because we will either worship God with our lives or we will begin to wander. Then verses 12 to 13, we looked at last week, the importance of us walking together and encouraging each other because we're all in danger of falling. We're all in danger of discouragement. We're all in danger of saying, I can't do this anymore. And so we walk together in this process. We build each other up. We encourage each other. But what we need to do is what the Israelites failed to do in Psalm 95 is a reflection of, a remembrance of, them being right at the edge of the promised land. And they're ready to go in. God has delivered them from Egypt. He's brought them through the wilderness. It has not been 40 years. It's been a very short period of time. They're at the edge of the promised land, and they find out there are giants in the land. And they say, mm-mm. We can't do it. They didn't believe God that he could deliver on his promises, and so they spend 40 years in the wilderness. We need to believe God that he can deliver on his promises. That's how we enter into his rest. We need to believe him that when he tells us, for instance, go and make disciples, and I will always be with you, that he's serious. And yet some of us are afraid to go. We're afraid to go across the street. We're afraid to go to the cubicle next to us at work. We're afraid to go to the ends of the earth because we're just, I couldn't do that. We don't believe that he will be with us when we go. We need to believe that he will deliver on the promise that when we have an opportunity to speak the words of Jesus to people, he will give us the words to say by his Spirit. In fact, Jesus says to his disciples, don't even be afraid when they haul you before the courts, because I will give you the words to say. And yet so often we just stay quiet. Why? Because we don't believe God will deliver on his promise. If I start to talk to them, they might ask me a question I won't know how to answer. We won't find rest unless we believe that he delivers on his promises. We need to believe that when we follow Jesus, no matter what the cost, he will meet our needs. For instance, Jesus said, for many of you, to his disciples, when you follow me, you're going to lose your family relationships, your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters. They're going to turn against you. They're going to reject you. But believe me, Jesus says, I will multiply to you 100-fold. Brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, in this life and in the life to come. Just trust me. And yet how many of us, because we're afraid of how somebody will respond to us, we say, well, I just can't be bold for Christ. We may even be afraid to believe. We need to believe Jesus when we're told in Malachi that when we give to God, in return, like we've just done, out of the abundance he's given to us, when we give back of our finances, regardless of how much we have, we give back to him out of hearts of thanksgiving, he will open the gates of heaven and meet our needs. And yet some of us, the truth is, are not sure that God would deliver on his promise. And so, I just don't have a lot of money right now, and I've got a lot of bills. And so, even though God has given us some, we don't return any to him. We don't believe that he will deliver on his promise. Believing that God will deliver on his promises is how we find rest in the middle, in that tough part of the slog of our pilgrimage home. So today we're going to look at verses 14 down to the end of chapter 3. And in verse 14 we find that we need to walk with Jesus in the middle. Not just at the beginning, and not just at the end, but we need to walk with Jesus in the middle of this pilgrimage home. Verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 3, if you're using the Bible in the seat in front of you, page 1002, this is what verse 14 says. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. We've come to share in Christ. What does that mean? It means to walk with Christ, as partners with Christ, as companions along the road with Christ. If we're going to be companions with Christ along the road, that's in the middle part of this journey. We've believed on him. We're not yet home in heaven. If we're going to be companions with Christ in this middle part of the journey, what do we need to do? We need to hold fast to the original confidence we had when we put our faith in Jesus, and we need to hold fast all the way to the end. We do that individually. Each one of us holds on, but we do it corporately because the words here are in the plural, and so all of us together, walking together, we hold on. In fact, that word, if we share in Christ, the word share, we've seen one other time in Hebrews. It only shows up one other time, and that was in Hebrews chapter 3 again, but verse 1. Look back at verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. This calling to heaven, this calling to salvation, it's not just for me. It's me bringing me into a family, and together we share this heavenly calling. Together we consider Jesus. We meditate on Jesus. We worship Jesus. So as we do this individually and corporately, putting our hope in Jesus, we hold on to that confidence that we had at the beginning, and we do it all the way to the end. Jesus is faithful, chapter 3, verse 2, and Moses was faithful, and so that's the image, the pattern for us. Jesus is going to be faithful to us. We need to be faithful to him. Keep trusting him all the way through the middle. Like the Israelites in the wilderness, remember Numbers 14. This is all reflection of Numbers 14 and Psalm 95. Like the Israelites in the wilderness, Christians experience a tension. There's a tension in our experience of growth. A tension between that first beginning, the time that we're delivered from our sins, and then the end when we have final rest. There's a tension between that. It's that middle part that's often the hardest. There's a tension between the first hope in salvation and the final fulfillment of that promise of salvation. It's that long slog in the middle, and if we're going to share in Christ, we need to hold on to the confidence we had at the beginning. That is what spiritual formation or spiritual discipleship is all about. We believe in Christ as new believers. We realize he died for our sins. We accept his forgiveness for our sins. We ask him to forgive us. And do you remember, if you're a believer, you remember how exciting that is? Wow, my sins are forgiven. This huge release of the burden of the debt we cannot pay. It's all been paid for us by Jesus. That huge excitement, we want to tell everybody. At the end of our life, as believers, we anticipate being in the presence of God, and sometimes the end of life can be really tough. But we're looking forward to just, Lord, take me home. Let me be in your presence. It's that middle part. It's that middle part that may be filled with loneliness, that may be filled with some wilderness experiences, that we grow and mature in Christ. And we need to hold on to that confidence we had at the beginning that we're going to reach out for at the end. We hold on to it in the middle. That's what spiritual growth is all about, and that's where it really happens. It's in the middle slog of our walk with Jesus. So what does that middle look like for us? What are some examples of it? Well, it's that time in the middle of our pilgrimage to heaven when the feelings of excitement and energy about being a brand new Christian often fade, and we walk by obedience, right? We simply walk by obedience. That's what the middle is. We keep trusting that Jesus has said this, and if I walk in obedience, he's going to fulfill his promise because he is always faithful. It's that middle time when our prayers move from instant response. Lord, please forgive me for my sins. I am a sinner. I know you died for me. Please forgive me. And instantly, our sins are forgiven forever. Our prayers move from instant response to persistent prayers. Lord, I'm praying for my children. Lord, I'm praying for my siblings. Lord, I'm praying for this chronic health issue. It's persistence. It's no longer instantaneous. It's that middle time when, as we raise a home of a believing family, we move from caring for little babies to trying to guide adolescents who are pushing hard against our guidance, right? It's that middle time where we trust God's promises, that as we continue to instruct them in righteousness, the Holy Spirit will remind them of that one day. It's that middle time when the newness, for instance, of maybe getting married, or the newness of buying a new house or a new job, simply becomes the monotony of maintenance. It's that middle time when we have to hold on to that confidence. The Holy Spirit knows that it's going to be tough. And so he says, if we're going to share in Christ, if we're going to be companions on the road with Christ, hold on to your confidence in the middle time. Your confidence that he is faithful and able to deliver on his promises. So how do we do that? Well, the Holy Spirit keeps giving us guidance. Look at verse 15. He says, start fresh and renewed every single day. He goes back to the verse we already had in verse 7 up above from Psalm 95, and he quotes it again. We say, why does he keep quoting this? Because it's so important. As it is said, verse 15, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Today, right now, every morning, fresh each day, we wake up and we say, today, Lord, I'm committing to walk with you. Today, I'm going to be a companion on the road with you. And it's not just me alone. I'm going to do this with my brothers and sisters in Christ because we need each other. That was verses 12 and 13 to keep us from falling. And so today, Lord, every single day, we're willing to start new. We're willing to start fresh. We've seen God's work in the past. We've seen his faithfulness in the past. And so as we look at another day that may be monotonous, another day that may be maintaining our faith, another day that may be filled with challenges and troubles, but every single day we wake up and say, today, Lord, today, I'm going to believe that you can deliver on your promises. It may be a day when you wake up and you say, boy, with inflation the way it is right now, I don't know how I'm going to pay all these bills. But today, Lord, I'm going to believe that as I honor you with my life and I honor you with my finances, you are going to enable me to do that. It may be today that you walk into an environment that is becoming increasingly anti-Christian. Maybe it's your workplace, maybe it's your school place, maybe, I don't know where it is, but our country as a whole is shifting slowly, but it's shifting to an anti-Christian mode where Christians are seen as backward, Christians are seen as archaic, Christians maybe even seen as hateful people, and it's harder to live openly, boldly for Christ. And so we wake up every day and we say, today, Lord, I am not going to be silent. I am not going to just hold back. I am not going to pretend like I'm just like everybody else. I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to share my hope in Jesus. I'm going to love people where they love me back. And I'm going to trust that you're going to be faithful to me in meeting my needs as I do so. Today, it might be for you the challenges of the newborn child that you raised and cuddled and loved, and they wrapped their arms around you. Today, they're an adolescent who's pushing away, or maybe a young adult who's launching, and it's hard to let go. But today, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this because I'm walking with you today. I'm sharing with you today. It may be that move in your experience, in your family, from being able to walk with your children and control their life a little bit and help them to just having almost no control anymore as they step into adulthood. And now all you can do is pray and wait for them, maybe someday, to ask you for your thoughts. But you continue to trust the Lord in that, to trust that he's going to deliver. It may be that your stage in your pilgrimage with Christ and your pilgrimage along this path on this globe has moved from the energy of being young to the confidence of being middle-aged to the limitations that come with older age. But even in those limitations, wake up in every morning and say, today, Lord, today, with whatever limitations may be increasingly coming because of my age, I believe you can deliver. You haven't changed. I'm going to hold on to that same confidence I had when I was first saved. You see, today offers for us every single day a fresh moment in our life and in our history. It's totally fresh every single morning. So today, the Spirit says, today, decisions to trust the Lord today, from this moment forward, and reveal belief, and that leads to rest. I can rest in Jesus today because he's still faithful. Or it could reveal unbelief, which will lead to stress. Or in the context of Psalm 95, which is quoted in this chapter, if I believe in Christ today, it's a fresh opportunity for worship. Or if I don't trust him today, it's a fresh opportunity to wander, because those are the two opposites. We're going to walk with Jesus in the middle, not just at the beginning, not just at the end. And we do that by every morning starting fresh and saying, today, today, I'm going to trust you. I believe you can deliver on your promises. And then the Holy Spirit reminds us of a fallacy that we easily fall into, and it's what happened to the Israelites as they approached the promised land and failed to enter. Verse 16 down to verse 19, he says, hearing and seeing is not believing. You know, we often say, if I heard the voice of God, I would believe. If I could hear him with my ears, I would believe. Or if I could see some miracles, I would believe. And the Holy Spirit says, no, this middle part of your life is faith. You're holding on to your confidence. It's not hearing and it's not seeing, because that is not the same as believing. Look at what he says in verse 16. For who were those? Remember, he's going back to Numbers 14. Who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of, here's the key, because of unbelief. And remember, this was not unbelief of they don't believe God exists. The Israelites believed that God was. They believed that Yahweh was. They believed that God existed. They didn't believe he could deliver. He's not going to help me with this problem. There are giants in the land and fortified cities. There's no way God can help us. And so they wandered instead of worshiping. You see, hearing and seeing is not the same as believing. Oh, they had heard the voice of God, literally. Look at Exodus chapter 20. It'll be on the screen there. They heard, but they didn't keep trusting him, even though they heard his voice. Now, when the people saw the thunder, they've left Egypt, they've crossed the Red Sea, they've reached Mount Sinai, a matter of weeks. God descends on the mountain. When the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off, and they said to Moses, you speak to us, we'll listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die. Did they hear God? Yes. They saw the mountain shake. They were terrified. And yet when they reached a place with a giant in front of them, they said, I'm not sure you can do this. Hearing is not the same as believing. And seeing is not the same as believing. The Israelites had seen God's miracles. Who are they, the Spirit of God asks, except those who left Egypt, led by Moses? Why does he say that? Because when they left Egypt, think of what they had seen. They had seen 10 plagues that God threw at the people of Egypt. They had seen the Nile turn into blood. They had seen swarms of frogs and of gnats and of flies. They had seen plagues kill the livestock. They had seen boils. They had seen hail. They had seen locusts. They had seen 3 days where the sun didn't shine. They saw the firstborn of all the people of Egypt die. They had seen miracles. They had seen God open the Red Sea and they walked right through it. They had seen manna falling out of heaven. They had seen a pillar of cloud every day and a pillar of fire every night. They had seen it all, but they didn't believe. Not with this challenge, God. You're not up to it. You see, hearing and seeing is not the same as believing. Because every day we have to commit ourselves, I'm going to believe you for what I'm facing today. Even though we have seen God work in the past, and praise God, we have. We have seen God work in the past. We have heard the gospel. We have seen God's provision for us. God has provided for us houses to live in. He's provided us jobs. We have seen God's provisions in our lives. But do we keep believing that he will deliver on his promises today? It's that long slog in the middle. All the way through Scripture, we have the Spirit of God reminding us that in the middle, we have to keep believing, not just the beginning and not just the end. There's several beautiful pictures of it that we will look at in depth a couple years from now in Hebrews chapter 11. But let me just mention Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. Abraham was willing, even though he was extraordinarily wealthy, to live in tents as a nomad. Why? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder was God. He believed that God had something better. He was not going to settle for less. So he never built himself a big fortified home. He was waiting for what God was bringing. Or Moses, a few verses down in Hebrews chapter 11. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking forward to his reward. So even though he had everything in Egypt at his availability, at his beck and call, it was all there as a prince in the palace. He said, no. Following Yahweh is of greater value than that. Then we move further down in that chapter, and there are a group of women mentioned. We aren't given their names. God knows every single name of every one of these women. But look at what we're told about them. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. In the middle, in the slog, they never stopped believing. God can deliver, even if it's just through death here and resurrection to a better life. And the Holy Spirit writes to the Philippians, all of them, so it's all of us as believers. Our citizenship is in heaven, from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. That's our hope, but it's also our present. We are citizens of heaven, but we're anticipating this new body, this new life in heaven. So what? Here comes the middle. What do we do in the middle? Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord. Right now, today, my beloved. Stand firm. Hold on to the same confidence you had at the beginning. Today. You see, to rest, we need to believe as we live in the middle of our pilgrimage home. And right now, every one of us in this room is in the middle. Now, if you're not a believer, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, that excitement, that hope is in front of you. Trust him that he died for your sins. He is the only one who can give you rest. If you're a believer and you've entered into the slog of the middle of your pilgrimage, every day, recommit yourself to trust and believe that God is the same God who delivered you from your sins, who delivered the Israelites from Egypt. He's the same God who can deliver you today, no matter what you face. Hold fast. That's where we rest, because we're still dependent on Jesus. And when we get to the end, we will find perfect rest. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we bow before you, so grateful that you understand that the middle is hard. The beginning and the end are filled with excitement and energy and anticipation, but the middle can be a long, tough slog. But you don't change. You are faithful. You still deliver on your promises. So today, I pray for every one of my brothers and my sisters and myself, whatever we are facing, whatever we think is right around the corner for us, today we will believe, just like we did when we first put our trust in you. And then help us to rest, knowing that your arms, everlasting arms, are around us, under us, and guiding us. We pray in your name, the beautiful name of Jesus.